Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
Good morning and welcome to the BizNews Daybreak. Today is Wednesday, the 12th of August. I'm Kerry Lanigan. First up, Bloomberg News Now with the latest overnight world news.
There are new signs of possible movement in talks to restore the flow of commodities through the Strait of Hormuz. Pakistan's defense minister says the U.S. and Iran are close to some kind of arrangement. Even so, tensions do remain high. President Trump is demanding reparations from Tehran, and Iran wants frozen assets to be released. Oil markets, meantime, are on edge, with Brent trading near $89 a barrel. Meantime, Bloomberg Economics says the U.S. is running dangerously low on key munitions used in this conflict. A report published Tuesday says stocks of advanced air defense interceptors are critically low, while long-range missile supplies are also being depleted. Becca Wasser is lead defense analyst for Bloomberg Economics.
We made an early call that this was going to be a protracted conflict, which means that it's a long war where there are cycles of fighting and then periods of rest and reconstitution as both sides try and rebuild and regroup. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing now. Right now, we are in a period where the president has decided to dial back on military pressure in, with a preference towards economic pressure.
That is Becca Wasser, defense lead for Bloomberg Economics. Now, the Pentagon has said recent claims of shortages are false. However, analysts are saying the depletion could affect how the U.S. manages future conflicts, including deterrence against China. We go to earnings news next. CoreWeave topped analyst estimates for second quarter sales. We have more on that from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
CoreWeave is a provider of computing that powers AI systems, and it signed up more customers than expected in a booming market. Gil Luria is head of technology research at D.A. Davidson. He's got a neutral rating on the stock.
There is still a really big question about whether we even need neoclouds, whether they're a good business. At the base of it is, are they getting a good enough return on investment to pay for the very expensive capital that they have to borrow?
CoreWeave has become a bellwether for the AI data center frenzy, with its results closely watched by Wall Street.
Shares in CoreWeave were up by more than 13% in late U.S. trading. We also had numbers after the bell from Supermicro Computer, and these results signal strong demand from the AI build-out. The server maker is forecasting revenue for the current quarter of between $14.5 and $15.5 billion. That's well above street expectations. Analysts were expecting about $12 billion. The company is also benefiting from demand for servers built around those NVIDIA chips used in AI data centers. Shares in Supermicro up 6.5% in late U.S. trading.
4 months into the job as DA federal leader, Jordan Hill Lewis used the BNC9 stage to set out his direction and make the case for why he thinks South African politics is about to shift. The full video is on biznews.com.
Today marks exactly 4 months since that day that Alec was speaking about, when I was elected federal leader of the DA. 4 months is not long enough to transform a political party, never mind a country, but it is long enough to establish a clear direction. And it is long enough to show people what kind of leadership they can expect. And so I wanted to say a few things about that today. It's long enough, certainly, to make one thing clear: that the DA is not going to be merely interested in managing the decline of South Africa. We are interested in reversing it. We do not accept the argument that South Africa cannot work or that it is beyond fixing. We are fundamentally optimists about South Africa and her future. My central belief is that South Africa can work for everyone, that a future of broadly shared prosperity is still possible in our country. We know that it will take a lot of hard work. It will also take a different kind of politics. A politics that is more serious, that is committed to bringing integrity into government, that is committed to ending the wave after wave of scandal and looting that have come to define our state, and a kind of politics that returns to the values that define our country at its best and not at its worst. Most importantly, a politics focused laser-like on building trust with millions of South Africans who have not yet voted for us before. And I say not yet very deliberately. This past weekend, we launched our local government manifesto in Johannesburg. I hope that some of you got a chance to watch it. This manifesto and the launch is another indicator, small but important indicator, of this new kind of politics that I'm speaking about at work. Our manifesto, rather unusually for a political party, makes no grand promises of easy miracles. Instead, ours is a straightforward, humble, and serious plan to get towns and cities working. And perhaps that is the grandest thing that South Africa needs right now. Our plan is positive, optimistic, and hopeful. It is not based on talk. It is based on what our party has done, is doing, and will do in municipalities across the country.
Also at BNC 9, barely a week into his role as MK's second-in-command, Dudazane Zuma addressed South Africa's business leaders directly. On land, the Reserve Bank, and what he's asking of the private sector. Check out biznews.com for more.
The president of our organization, Mr. Jacob Zuma, who's quite an interesting character. He's all right, isn't he? He's an all right guy. He's been hounded for a very long time. Rightfully, wrongfully, I'm not here to speak about that. But the one thing that I will say is we should thank our lucky stars for that gentleman for one reason and one reason only. He's held back a lot of revolt in this country. Pre-94, post-94, but especially where we find ourselves now, because a lot of people look to him for leadership, for guidance as an elderly statesman, and as an elder in the community. Now, what he's done, which a lot of us may, you know, shrug off our shoulders as someone that has created opportunities for the black majority in this country, is he's held people back and said, we'll get through this. He's spoken them through it. He's guided them through it, and he's here to do it once again. And we should hope he'll be here for a much longer time. Now, people want to talk about succession. They want to talk about a legacy project. I'm here to do my job. That's it. I'm here to do exactly what it is that you're thinking, to create a better country. I'm here to move the country forward. I'm here to make sure that everyone's rights are respected and everyone has fair opportunity. Now, when it comes to policy position, there's been a lot of debate. Of course, we've got some interesting policies. Never mind, people say we don't. But I think the reason for that is the policies that have been pitched are ones that make some people step back and say, hey, this is going to affect our happy place, which is not the case. You look at land expropriation or compensation, free education, nationalizing the Reserve Bank, whatever it is. I want us to look at this from the other perspective. As big business, as the white minority in this country, as well as the Indian and colored minority, meet us halfway. That's the only request that I'll make. I think it's that simple. If we're able to agree and work together and not look at this as a scarecrow, I think we can move much further than we have. We've been having this pillar to post and just knocking this ball around for the past many years, and we find ourselves here. You know, come November 2026 and come national elections 2029, we will be here. It's inevitable.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Over to global markets. A fintech that hit a $1 billion valuation after signing a deal with the Trump family's crypto platform has sold its core business for $12 million. Bloomberg's Nicola White has the story.
So talk to us how this company went from being $1 billion to something like $12 million in just a few in just a short moment.
So right after the tie-up with World Liberty, which was much celebrated, as you saw, that, you know, Don Jr. and Eric Trump rang NASDAQ bell, just a lot of things came to the surface that previously had been undisclosed. So right after the deal got announced, the company revealed that, you know, there's just like so much more spotlight on the company. The company revealed a previously undisclosed conviction for one of its former executives who had been charged in Rwanda on money laundering allegations. So there was that. There was just other drama with Bloomberg has reported that the founders of the payments company had gotten in trouble with the SEC a few years ago, one of them for allegedly running penny stock schemes and another for a, the SEC called it hijacking of shell company listings and selling basically worthless shares to the public. So there was that. And then there was C-suite turnover, auditors hired and fired, and the company stock is now trading well below a dollar. It hasn't traded above a dollar since May, and the company is at risk of being kicked off the NASDAQ.
Nicola, just we got 10 seconds left. How is it connected to the Trump family?
So the big deal that they did with World Liberty is the crypto platform that's tied to the Trump family, and the tie up netted about $500 million for the Trump family. But then it ended up being a 90% route for investors, as we have reported.
And we close with Alec Hogg's fireside chat with Christo Visa on Marcus Yost's betrayal, the fraud case he's still fighting, and why, at 84, he remains more optimistic about South Africa than most. Christo Visa closed the proceedings on day one of BNC9. The full discussion will be on biznews.com in due time.
It reminded me of Warren Buffett, who does business on a handshake. Do you do that?
I did my deal with Yoste on a handshake. The lawyers came afterwards, all the agreements and all the structuring that happened afterwards. But the deal was done on a handshake.
You know, I knew him quite well because of the racing industry.
I remember.
I would see Marcus maybe once a month, have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And he had the hugest respect and regard for you. He would talk about you so much. And yet, what he did to you...
Yeah, but I mean, Alec, why should I be different? He did it to thousands of people. And he did it to people who were very close friends. People who were in very vulnerable positions as CEOs of banks and so on. They trusted him. And, you know, he pretended that they were his closest friends. They were at every function, every party. And he did it to them, so why wouldn't he do it to me? But I made a statement in the press once. It came out afterwards that he had this girlfriend. Now, I confronted him at one stage when I heard the rumor, and he denied it. Now, I then said I made the press statement, which I thought was a bit harsh, but I said, if he could lie to his wife every day, why would he not lie to me? Mm. I mean, he'd been married to her for 20 years or whatever, and he lived a double life.
It was an extraordinary situation. We haven't spoken since his death, since his suicide. Any changed thoughts on the man?
No, I'll tell you what did change. I tried to, you know, follow the advice in the Bible that you must forgive. But I decided not to forgive him ever, and which I had difficulty with. And then I also, for a long time, thought that I had no sympathy for his family. But I've kind of changed my thinking about that.
How?
Well, I'm not going to persecute them. You know, I've sued Uster for the return of Landsrak, which is where my Steinhoff disaster originated. I wanted to sell Landsrak, and he said, but I'll buy it from you. I'll put together a consortium, I'll buy it from you. And of course, when the fraud emerged, I can now claim restitution on the basis of, you know, in our law, fraud unravels everything. So I'm hoping to get it back.
That's it for this morning's BizNews Daybreak. I'm Kerry Lanigan. Thanks for listening.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.